and the lawyers stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And he said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" He answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this, and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was walking down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Just then, a seminary professor decided to test Jesus. "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus replied, "Well, what do you see in the Bible?" The professor answered, "Love God with all your heart and mind and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself." "Good answer," Jesus says, nodding. "Do this and you will live." Well, needing to prod just a little bit more, the professor asks, "So who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A faithful man was walking down the road one evening. He was robbed, beaten, and left for dead." A gang initiation. He lay bleeding just off the sidewalk. Now it happened that a pastor was walking by. She noticed the man, but she was a little worried about falling into the hands of violence herself. She thought for a moment about helping the man, but her fear won out and she moved along, telling herself that she would pray for this man and for the brokenness of those who perpetrated the crime. She might have felt guilty for a moment, but was soon caught up in other pastoral duties and she forgot about the man on the side of the road. Not too long after, a lifelong weekly churchgoer happened by the scene. The man lay there bleeding, half conscious, clearly in trouble. The churchgoer noticed the man, saw the man, and wondered what he must have done to get into such trouble. He figured that the man was probably some kind of drug addict and thought that if he'd just cleaned up his act and gotten a job, he wouldn't be here lying on the road all beaten up. Too bad, he thought, but maybe he'll learn a lesson. And the churchgoer continued to walk. Finally, a young transgendered person carrying a rainbow flag was walking along and happened upon the beaten up man. He quickly called for help, traveled with the beaten man to the hospital, made sure the man was taken care of, and continued to visit him daily throughout his recovery, ensuring that all the man's needs were met. "Now," Jesus says to the professor, "which person was a neighbor to the man who fell victim to gang violence?" The one who showed him compassion? Replied the professor. Go and do the same. This parable, which is so familiar to us, has something about it that gets lost in translation over the course of 2,000 years and culture shifting. Just 2 weeks ago in our gospel reading, we heard that the Samaritans wouldn't accept Jesus because his face was turned toward Jerusalem. To say that relations with Samaritans was tense is a bit of an understatement. They did not mix or associate with the Jews. And to the best of my understanding, this was perhaps as much because of the Jews as it was because of the Samaritans. So only a very short time ago, Jesus was turned away by these people. And then today, he uses one of them as the model hero in his story. This would have been a slap in the face for those gathered around him listening. That the two who walked by were both upright religious folks, and then the one who is neighborly is someone they hated. So as I was rewriting it, I wondered what kind of person I should describe. Who would shock you the most? Should I say that it was a woman in a hijab who helped? Or a young atheist kid with his pants around his knees and loud rap music in his ears? A refugee, perhaps. Someone with tracks up both of their arms because of their drug addiction? Or a mentally ill homeless person in torn up clothes? I don't think it matters really which one does the compassionate act, but that we realize in the telling of it that we have some serious work to do in a few different ways. First, I think that we really need to own the conviction that often, very often, we would be the ones walking past the man on the street. I am very guilty of this. I read the news and I cry out that Black Lives Matter. And then I live in a country with the same kind of systemic racism towards Indigenous peoples and do little to nothing about it. And systemic racism is real. It's not about looking at someone and thinking or saying out loud that they're inferior, but rather realizing that the way society operates, the systems that we have in place, like education and healthcare and so on, that they operate in such a way that they are less generous to some and more generous to others. I am an active participant in a society where people, some people by virtue of their race or heritage, are at a constant disadvantage. This doesn't mean I want it to be like this. It doesn't mean that I'm even okay with it. But I am a part of it, just by virtue of being a member of society. And it is no longer acceptable to pretend that this is not true. Elie Wiesel, who died only a week or so ago, said, "We must always take sides. Neutrality helps the oppressor, never the victim. Silence," he says, "encourages the tormentor, not the tormented." I heard another quote once that left quite a mark on me. It said something to the effect of, "Those who stood silently on the sidelines fanned the flames of the Holocaust with their eyelashes when they blinked." You need only to look at the headlines of the past 2 to 3 weeks to see the devastation, the hate, the horror. is not the answer. Walking by is not the answer. You need to show up. Which brings me to my second point, which is that when we stop walking by, we need to start behaving like the Samaritan. He witnessed the distress of the man. He actually noticed it and internalized it. And then he went over to him. He decided to get close to the man in distress, to the uncomfortableness. And then his compassion led him to action. He actually did something to help him. He opened his eyes to witness. He drew near to the uncomfortable situation, and he acted. The other terribly important thing here is that Jesus, I think, is very pointedly telling us that we will see God's love in action through those whom we would least expect it. We really like to think that it is the good church folks doing the good in the world. But really, it's often the person whom we would describe as the least likely actor of God's grace who is doing it all the time. All the time this is true. It would be very good for us to stop judging how everyone else is doing it, instead do the work ourselves. To see, to draw near, and to act. The brokenness these days is almost intolerable. To be truth, to be honest, I'm inclined to just stop listening to the news. But then I fear, as Elie Wiesel would put it, I would become a silent encourager. And I think that we need to feel the pain of the world so that we can act as salve to the wounds of the world. Because today, the world needs Samaritans. The world needs you. Amen. We will sing together number 765.